Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to another service here from Unity Center of Life, from our home to your home. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pam Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you this service today. As always, we'd like to remind you to join us in the Zoom session, Zoom fellowship session right after this to interact with your other Unity family, listen to some music, and have some discussion. So we look forward to seeing you in that right after this service. And we're going to get started with Pamela.
Thanks. Good morning, Unity family, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. Now let's affirm our foundation statement. Together, there is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the Good, Omnipotent. Amen. And now we have the daily word reading for today, Sunday, March the 6th. The key word is glory, and the affirmation is, my life celebrates the glory of God. Glory fills the world with wonder when I attune my senses to it. I hear it in the sound of waves crashing on a beach and in the resonant harmony of a choir. I see it in sunrises and sunsets, in the beauty of gardens, mountains, and forests, and in the eyes of parents holding their newborn child. I feel glory in the depths of my being at those moments when I understand my life as God's life, living as me. There is no place where my human self ends and the divine presence in me begins. God and I are one. The glory of God is revealed in me as I release the thought that I am only human. God's glory shines through me as the divine presence, the Christ, expressing in my healthy body, my insightful mind, and my loving heart. And the scripture reading is taken from Galatians 2:20, and it reads, and it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. Amen. And now we will have the Sunday message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So we are beginning the Lenten journey. Lent already, but it seemed like we were just celebrating New Year's. Now we're up to Lent, and before you know it, it's going to be Easter. So this year, the series, the Lenten series, is Release and Renew, Spiritual Practice for Lent. And hopefully all of you have gotten the Lenten booklet, and if you have not, just, you know, send an email to the church and let us know, and we'll tell you how to get it. But you can find it as a link in the weekly update that comes. There's a link right at the top that you can click on and get the booklet. So the Lenten season officially began, you know, this past Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, March 2nd. And this is a time to consciously practice releasing and letting go of those mental, emotional thoughts and feelings that are keeping us from being reborn and renewed into a higher awareness of the activity of God in our body, mind, life, and affairs. And from this week's reading from the Lenten journey, it says, I release problems that seem overwhelming. I renew my awareness of my spiritual nature. I release my habit of judging others. I renew my commitment to see the divine in all beings. Okay. So the typical tools we use during Lent, you know, we repeat this every year, is to achieve our spiritual goals by, we know, fasting, prayer, repentance for the express purpose of freeing ourselves from old addictions, habits, negative thoughts and behaviors, all right? So this Lenten practice of releasing aspects of the old self for the purpose of renewal is to develop a mental, emotional state that will not return to the old ways of being, okay? And remember, you know, typically in our previous religious experiences, we were always told for Lent you need to give up something, you know, only to go back to it when, you know, Lent was over. But this is a different perspective. And it's time, Lent is a time to consciously practice on a daily basis, allowing your light of divine love and spiritual understanding to to shine through you and into the lives of others. Okay? So these are the common metaphysical thoughts about Lent. And what we're going to explore in this and the upcoming Lenten lessons is some of the ways we can fine-tune our spiritual quests by seeking to understand a little better how our common everyday process might be sabotaging our spiritual growth and keeping us from awakening to who we really are. So it's really always a process of waking up, of realizing. And the waking up, which we have had experience with over the years in our lives, is all of a sudden you realize that you were doing something, thinking something, expressing something that was not in line with where you really wanted to be. It's sort of that idea. And it's interesting to note that an essay written by Reverend Bonnie Bernard, she explains that Lent is a church institution and there's no authorized basis for it anywhere in the New Testament. However, she explains that there is a sound basis for it in Scripture. And let's look at the folks that she's talking about. We all know these, you know. Moses, Elijah, and Jesus set a precedent for it. And each of them observed a 40-day period of prayer and fasting to prepare themselves for the spiritual work they were committed to do. So Moses received the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai at the completion of his 40-day fast. Elijah talked with God on Mount Horeb at the conclusion of his 40-day time of prayer and fasting. And Jesus began, as we know, his great spiritual ministry at the end of his 40-day fast in the wilderness. Okay, so it's the same thing for each one of us. We also are called to the 40-day process, meaning not 40 calendar days, or in Moses' time, he was 40 years in the wilderness. It's not that calendar time, but it means the time it takes to complete the release of thoughts, words, and actions that we know are preventing us from evolving to the next stage of consciousness. Okay. And we had a discussion in a staff meeting about lower consciousness. And all of us are at lower states of consciousness, meaning there are higher states above us. It doesn't mean it's a negative thing that we're at a lower state of consciousness. It just means that as we evolve to the next level of consciousness, it's still lower than the level of consciousness above that, okay, until we finally get to Christ consciousness. So the Lenten season is a time to abstain from negative thoughts, words, and actions that might be preventing us from moving to that next level of consciousness. It's a time to rest in a peaceful, prayerful state of mind, to put God back in charge of our life and affairs. It's a time to cleanse our inner self of all those thoughts, beliefs, fears, you know, opinions that keep us from awakening to the truth of who we really are. It's a time to allow our light of divine love and spiritual understanding to shine through us and into everyone around us in the world. And in the Lenten booklet, Reverend Joanna Gabrielle quotes Eric Butterworth as suggesting that we make the 40 days of Lent a dynamic experience, not by what we give up, as much as what we take up. So what we're striving to take up is a graceful way of living. And if you're reading the Lenten booklet, you may have read Reverend Gabrielle's Four Practices for Graceful Living. Four Practices for Graceful Living. And they are: retreat, change your emotional location; return, change your heart; release, change your thinking; and renew, change your mind. And we are going to look at those in more depth as we go through the talk. So these four practices of graceful living, and let me say that again, practices for graceful living, have a gentle, kind, compassionate, you know, sort of ring to them, with the focus being to develop the willingness to be open and receptive to an inner guidance that transcends our own perceptions about what our, you know, our life and what we may be experiencing. You know, because we look at our lives and say, why is these things going on? The process of this idea of moving into a more compassionate consciousness is being able to look at our life from a different perspective. So graceful living is being willing to listen to our inner guidance, calling us to awaken to a deeper, more profound understanding of who we really are and the powerful healing love we are capable of expressing. Okay? So as one source explained it, it says, being graceful or adopting a graceful attitude is about both dealing with anything life can and will throw at you and dealing with it by using the best spiritual tools available to you. And it's about being kind to yourself and to others and taking the time to remain spiritually conscious of the moment, staying aware of the good in your life, okay, and choosing to act from that goodness. Okay? So we're always being called to express the good of God that is within us. Let me say that again. We're always being called to express the good of God that is within us. We're always being called to be gracious. And yes, there are times that when this call comes, we must first release our own perception, our own what we wanted to do, our own typical way of interpreting what we're experiencing so that we will be able to hear the call and respond to God's call, you know, calling us to be gracious. So there's a poem that says, "Listen, my beloved, I am calling you. Do you hear me?" Okay? "Listen, my beloved, I am calling you. Do you hear me?" Now, words such as these send us into a mental quandary, wondering, how do I hear God calling me? How do I choose God over what I'm thinking about, worrying about, or fearing in terms of what is occurring in my life? And that's a legitimate question. Stuff's going on. That's what you're thinking about. You say to yourself, I don't know if I'm paying attention to hearing God calling me. Now, Rabbi Zelman, I've quoted him before, one of the founders of the Jewish Renewal Movement, shares his experience in answering this question, how do I know when God is speaking to me? He said, it's not necessary for God to move air against my eardrums. In other words, it's not that kind of hearing, okay? And that's why Jesus said, those who have ears to hear, let them hear, okay? Not physical ear, but your inner spiritual ear that can listen to spirit, okay? And Rabbi Zelman also explained this. He said, our ability to hear God's calling and have our words virtually create holiness is another, is contingent upon our complete faith and our ability to fulfill those words. Okay? Thanks, son. So the question is grace and gratefulness already in our hearts? Because if they are not, if grace and gracefulness are not already in our hearts, we may hear God calling, but without grace and gratefulness in our hearts, God's words will sound like gibberish, unintelligible, and meaningless. In other words, we won't be able to comprehend what's being shared with us from a spiritual perspective. So Rabbi Zelman says this, says, listening to God's calling is hard to explain because we have good reason words, but we hardly have any intuition words. So if someone asks the question, how do I know that it is God speaking to me? Since it is an intuitive experience, we typically have no intuitive words to explain what we are receiving. Okay? So the word intuitive means immediate cognition. So intuitive means it comes to you. You got it. You know, it's like, again, Myrtle Fillmore, when she heard it said that as a child of God, you do not inherit sickness. That to her, she intuitively got it. Okay? So intuitive means that you have this immediate cognition. It is when you mentally get a sense of something that you could not have reached by reasoning. Okay? So intuition is something that is impressed upon us. And everyone listening to this message has had many intuitive moments. Moments when some thought or idea was impressed upon you. And when asked about it, the only answer you could give is, I don't know how I know. It just came to me. Okay. So Charles Fillmore in Keep It True Lent says this. He says, The Lenten journey is about cleansing and disciplining both mind and body toward the end of making them more open and receptive to the constant flow of Christ ideas into our mind. However, like many other religious practices, it is too often observed in letter, but not in spirit. Okay, meaning we know it, but as we were talking about in the last couple of weeks, what are we doing with it? Okay, so to paraphrase Rabbi Zelman, to match Fillmore's explanation, he says we cling to reason words because it gives us an out, a justification, a rationalization that others can relate to. Okay, so you try to use conjure up intuitive words that, well, God shared with me, blah, blah, blah. Both of us can't really get that. But the usual ways that we use, you know, reason words to justify ourselves, typically the people we're talking to get it, okay? So why do we choose the reasoning of our ego mind over the intuition of our spiritual mind? Maybe it's because reasoning words are so much more eloquent, so flamboyant, so colorful and convincing, whereas intuition just is, with no words that can really explain why. But trying to explain to someone your story of inner spiritual transformation, of how you've been touched by the grace of God, or how you have felt God moving in the circumstances and situations in your life, as Dr. Boroshenko says, this is life's artistry, okay? Meaning it is spirit painting some experience, some guidance into your consciousness that is beyond the words you have to explain it. So it's like the question I've asked so many times before. I use the Grand Canyon, but many of you who travel a lot may have had other experiences like this. Like when we traveled across and saw all of the southern national parks, and then Pam and I went across all the northern national parks, every one of them was stunning. Not in a way you could even describe it, you know. So if you've been done something like that, or you know, or seeing the Grand Canyon, whatever, you know, somebody asks you about it, you can't really explain the experience. It's something that they have to experience for themselves, okay? So this is similar to trying to explain to someone what you're feeling as God paints, let's say, as God paints a new direction for your life into your mind and heart. That's why Dr. Boroshenko called it life's artistry, okay? And often you can't say much more than, it's just a feeling I have that this is right. Even if it's scary, I just feel it's right. And the thing that many of us like to say is, you know, that saying, God just laid it on my heart. All right? And you could just really feel that this is a direction you're supposed to be going in. So how do you know when it is God painting the picture and not your ego? Painting the picture in your mind and not your ego. It is when the colors of the spiritual palette are made up of faith and love, understanding and joy, forgiveness and compassion, kindness and patience, wisdom, strength, and courage. When that's what's being used to paint this life's artistry into your consciousness by God, you know that that's what that is. And just think about how you communicate with others during times of stress, or how you communicate with yourself when you're absorbed in your own thoughts about the challenges in your life. What pictures do you paint, and what colors are the emotions you use to paint those pictures? Ask yourself, am I using the colors from the palette of fear, or am I choosing the colors from the palette of faith, peace, love, and grace? See, we have become so good at painting the pictures of our own interpretations of what we think is occurring in our lives, that our inner canvas, I think, visualize this with me. We spend so much time painting our own pictures in our mind that our inner canvas is filled with our own imaginings. And this offers another interpretation of the scripture that says there was no room in the inn for the birth of the Christ child. Okay, likewise, we often leave no room on the canvas of our mind for God to paint us a different picture, telling a very different story about what we are divinely capable of. So the purpose of the daily practice of prayer and meditation is to erase some of what we have painted on the canvas of our mind to make room for God to paint an image or two. right? So you spend that time in prayer and meditation to give God some space to paint a picture. And this is the idea of release and renew as looked at earlier in the 2022 Lenten booklet, okay? Let's look at that again. It says, retreat is the practice of prayer and meditation. It is taking time to allow your heart to return to its rightful, grateful, gracious state. Release is the practice of letting go of as much as you are presently able of your own thoughts. So it's about letting go of much as you can let go of your own thoughts, your own reason thoughts, to make room for some intuitive thoughts. And renew is being able to be in the life experience, practicing the graceful, gracious living your mind and heart have returned to. Okay. So that's hopefully you'll go back over that slide to really work with those four ideas of how to, or practices of how to live the graceful life. So the four spiritual practices are what some mystics call the intuitive experience, meaning the teaching that happens on the inside. So the intuitive experience is the teaching that happens on the inside. And these spiritual teachings that we receive on the inside teach us about the transcendent possibilities that are available to us, meaning over a period of time, when seriously practicing prayer, meditation, and spiritual contemplation, we begin to perceive possible ways of overcoming the trials and tribulations in our lives that transcend our normal thinking, our normal intellectual way or emotional way of trying to approach those ideas. So that's what we want to make ourselves, avail ourselves of, is transcendental thinking, intuitive thinking, okay? And Paul shared an example of a transcendent possibility when he said in Philippians 4:7, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Okay? That's transcendent thinking. And again, when you have this transcendent experience, no words can explain it. Why? Because in this spiritual state of mind, all you are aware of is a feeling of oneness. Not me and God, just God in the form of faith or love or peace or whatever it is you need at that time. And there are no reason words that it can explain what you are experiencing within. So as always, the question is, how do I experience this intuitive state of mind, this state of oneness with God? So spiritual teacher Hamid Ali talks about this direct guidance from God as an experience of non-dual awareness. And this is what he says. Non-duality is a state of mind that can be experienced but is impossible to put in words. Right now in our minds, we believe we are separate from everyone and everything else. There is me and you, them and us. It is the force behind the expression you people or those people. But at a spiritual level of consciousness, we come to realize that we are not two, but one. And when does this happen? Or how does this happen? As soon as we stop identifying with our emotions and thoughts and the perceptions that separate us, we rise above the superficial sense of separateness and suddenly realize that we are truly one. Okay? And not just one with each other, but one with the universal, omnipresent consciousness we call God. It is in this state of oneness that we experience release and renewal through heightened intuition. And all of us have intuitive ability. We all have intuitive ability. Okay? Some may be more aware of your intuitive abilities and how to use them than others. But we all have intuitive abilities. And you will especially find yourself being very intuitive in your area of specialty or experience, okay? Or in those things that you are passionate about, or when it comes to your children or your loved ones, all right? I'm reading a book called The Physics of Consciousness, and it talks about the connection between the mother and the child from a standpoint of quantum physics. All right. And so, yes, we are all one. All right. We have all experienced this intuitive experience, a profound knowing that was undisputable and often unexplainable. Okay. So we are intuits in our own right. We are intuits in our own right. And if we are serious about heightening our intuitive awareness, it comes from the dedicated daily practice of retreat, return, release, and renew. Okay? And we can paraphrase Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God, as be still and allow me to access your mind and guide you. Okay? So Nina Zimbelman, right, who is an exceptional intuit, you might have heard of, explains, obviously, the greater wisdom that is my guidance, she says, is a greater part of me that is seeing, steering me into directions that I am resisting going to. Now, think about that. The greater guidance within each one of us is that part of us that's steering us in directions we may not want to go. We're resisting going in that direction. Okay? So we find in Exodus 3:11 an example of Nina, what Nina was talking about, in a scripture written in Exodus where Moses says to God, who am I that I should go into Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Well, in the scripture, Moses is reflecting what we experience when God requests our attention and points us in a direction that every fiber of our being may be saying and risking going, no, I don't want to do that. Okay. So listen to what Moses says in Exodus 4:1. But suppose they do not believe me. Or in Exodus 6:30, since I'm a poor speaker, why would Pharaoh listen to me? So, I mean, can you hear yourself in that, in some of the things that have happened in your life or may be happening in your life? You find it amazing that characters in the Bible that lived so long ago had the same challenges within themselves that we have in our lives today. It is because nothing has changed. God is still God, working to bring more love, more peace, more joy, more healing, more abundance, more meaning into our lives. God is working constantly to renew our minds by getting us to release old thought habits. And for this to work, our part is simply to practice being still and willing to release and be renewed as God works within us, painting a new story for our lives. Okay? So I'm going to leave you with this affirmation to think about. So that I release any feeling of doubt and I willingly align myself with God's plan of renewal for me. With faith, I follow God's guidance and expect glorious results. And so it is. Amen. All right. And now we're going to have meditation with Pamela.
So, Unity family, let's begin this time of contemplation and meditation by becoming still. Allow your eyes to gently close or take a downward gaze. Let go of outside distractions, fears, doubts, anything that seems to be where our focus is drawn these days. Take a deep breath and know that this is God life you are breathing in. And as you exhale, feel that presence soothing your mind, soul, and body. Take another breath and release it slowly. Now a much deeper inhale and exhale, fully releasing all negativity, worry, and fear. As you continue your deep breathing, let us acknowledge the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, active in our lives and affairs, our nation, and our world. Now we decree our oneness with this power, for we each have been made in the image and likeness of God. Unity Minister Eric Butterworth says that prayer is to know our oneness. Be still and know that I am God. God is not absent. God is present as a presence. So let us allow the infinite process to do its perfect work in us, to hear us, guide us, and direct us to that secret place of the highest. This is a place of love, faith, peace, and joy, all these blessings that we want expressed in our lives. Eric Butterworth also says that we can make the 40 days of Lenten season dynamic, not by what we give up as much as by what we take up. In our spiritual practice for Lent, we're given some ways to practice graceful living. Please take these ways into the secret place of the Most High. Use Lent as a spiritual retreat. Sprinkling your heart and soul. Change your thinking. Share yourself with others by taking your mind off your own circumstances. And now let's pause from the sound of my voice as you go deep within. We thank you, gracious Spirit, that you have answered our prayers as you always do. We go forth this day and all the days that follow in your direction and guidance. We breathe and go forth in your loving grace. And so it is. Amen. Now take your time as you come back to this place and space with a mind renewed.
Great, hon.
So was your talk.
Thank you. This is the time we open our hearts and minds to allow some of the wonderful blessings that flow into our lives, also flow into our spiritual home. We thank all of you for all the wonderful gifts you've been sending to us and are very grateful for your continued support of Unity Center of Light. And we ask you to now just hold that offering in your hand, in your mind, in your heart as we say our offering blessing together. We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light. Amen.
Amen.
All right, and you have light notes?
Yes. Light notes for today, Sunday, March the 6th. Our Release and Renew Lent booklet discussion began on March 2nd and continues to the week before Easter. These discussions parallel the Sunday talks, so please join April each Wednesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Our annual membership meeting is coming up on March 13th at 1 p.m. All are invited to participate, but only Unity Center of Light members may vote. The link for this virtual meeting is the same as the link for Sunday Zoom Fellowship. And we ask that you please remember that March is our month to support the Bowie Food Pantry. You can take non-perishable food items around behind the Kenhill Center to the Gray Building in the back, and a volunteer will come out and take your donations out of your car. The days to take food are Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 to 11 a.m. But if you check in your e-newsletter, you'll find that there's an orange link, and that will tell you what they are currently needing at the food pantry. And that's it for Light Notes.
Okay. So now it is time to
bless the path that we will walk this week. And we're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto. Together, I go forward in the spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous. And I am grateful.
All right, let's go right into our prayer for protection together.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine. And all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. All right. It's been our pleasure to bring you this service today. And we look forward to seeing you in Zoom.
Yes.
Otherwise, have a wonderful week. And it's been great being here with you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.